Welcome to the MadTech Podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the MadTech Podcast special. I'm Matt Broughton, research lead at ExchangeWire, and today we're going to be travelling across the programmatic audio landscape. To guide us on that journey across the sound waves, I'm delighted to be joined by Mike Cadin, founder and CEO of Red Circle. Hello to you, Mike.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, man?
All good, sir. Yeah, delighted to have you here and yeah, really looking forward to this conversation. So yeah, we'll dive straight in on the notes of optimism and positivity around audio. And it's really having that, it's moment right now. Podcasting is continuing to boom. It's now a $7 billion market, according to various estimates. How is that programmatic ad tech keeping up with the way people are listening these days? And yeah, how is it making the most of the power of audio?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and the $7 billion is a relatively new market estimate. I think we've seen as low as, you know, two, as big as seven. So I think there's still some questions of exactly how big the market is. And if you compare it to the rest of programmatic, to CTV, to, you know, any other channel, it's still a very small piece of the overall pie. And then even within that, in terms of the dollars spent in podcast advertising, what's spent programmatically or in any kind of automated fashion is actually just a small percentage of that. It's like 10 or 12% that the majority of the dollars being spent in podcast advertising are being spent on host-read endorsement style audio that's often sort of burned into the content, like you're watching a game show in the 70s and they're talking about some product. And you know, that may be part of the reason why, you know, the market is so small relative to the amount of engagement that listeners have, is that the amount of automation, the ease of deploying scale campaigns, these are all very challenging in podcasting. But there's technologies that are emerging that are making it more and more straightforward for brands, agencies, buyers to be able to scale up these campaigns and be able to deploy with the right level of data intelligence, the right level of attribution, the right level of brand safety and creative control to be able to scale up and spend these large budgets that hopefully will continue to push those numbers up. So, you know, things are improving, but it's still in many ways, despite it being, you know, quite an old medium that dates back to, you know, sort of the blogosphere and RSS feeds in the early 2000s. You know, there's still a lot of maturing still to happen in the ad tech part of the space.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got that evolution to come. And yeah, thankfully today we're not going to be inserting a random ad, me talking about how to, you know, invest in vehicle oil. That's not going to happen on this one. But yeah, in terms of that dynamic ad insertion piece, it is becoming ever more prevalent, as you say, and has come a long way, even though it's still evolving. Where do you see it heading next? Are things getting more personalized or context aware at scale?
Yeah, it's a good question. And for what it's worth, by the way, we spend a lot of time on those host-read endorsement style ads. I think those are a powerful form of advertising that make part of what makes podcasting special. But, you know, there are ways to make that scalable and to make that, you know, not be 100 emails and PDFs and spreadsheets to be able to achieve a buy, which is part of what our platform at Red Circle does. But anyway, in terms of dynamic insertion in general, you know, most of the ads that you're hearing in podcasts that you listen to are being dynamically stitched, whether they are coming from a host-read endorsement style ad or a more programmatic real-time targeted ad. And the reason for that is, you know, it just makes the inventory more accessible for the publisher. They can run the host read ad for the first 30 or 90 days and then swap that inventory out in the future for programmatic and to be able to increase their yield. In terms of the targeting that comes behind that, that has grown a ton over the last several years. So we're not just exclusively buying at the show level by targeting just by, like, you know, the basic demographics that we know from a show, from a survey, and the content of the show as the main way that you target, where now there are systems that are, you know, utilizing, you know, relatively crude, you know, IP based household level targeting to at least sort of make sure that we're targeting the right household. So, for example, my wife is a nurse practitioner. I listen to a lot of podcasts, as you can imagine, as a founder in the space. And I get a lot of ads that are targeted towards medical professionals. And it's because they know we're in the same household and my wife downloads on the same Wi-Fi. And that's the kind of targeting that's possible. It's not quite as tight as Instagram or, you know, where the user is logged in and you know exactly who they are and how old they are, all the details of what they follow. But there's usually enough for a marketer to be able to gain access to the users that they want. You know, when I watch TV together with my wife, we get all kinds of stuff and see TV ads that are targeted towards medical professionals. And, you know, she's sitting there right next to me and still gains access to the same stuff. So, you know, we're way past just looking at the show. And we have some more sophisticated targeting tools. And so for the more tightly targeted brands, there's a lot of space for them to play where they can find exactly who they want. And then for the more broadly appealing, you know, the better helps of the world that are looking to talk to everybody and have found that podcasting is a performant medium, picking the right, you know, category of show and content level targeting is usually enough. And you get good performance out of that type of targeting for most sort of broad based advertisers too.
Yeah, it's great to hear how that also is a developing piece, and it leads us nicely into our next question, where in terms of obviously the creator side of things and the, you know, sheer volume of podcasts out there nowadays, one question we hear about a lot in the space is about that scale and quality. How can brands tap into that, you know, that really long tail of independent podcasts while still ensuring they're maintaining brand safety and also that reach across those podcasts?
Yeah, it's a perfect question, because the top, say, 500 podcasts are super loaded. There's a lot of ads in them. If you listen to, say, like the Lex Fridman podcast, he's going to spend 8 minutes in the beginning reading ads that everybody is pressing fast forward to go through. Those ones are loaded. They're more expensive. And as a result, the ad reads end up being quite inauthentic, because, you know, you can sort of tell this is just a business and they're reading the ad and then we're moving on, right? As you start to move down from the top, you're seeing less ad load. So you're getting a bigger share of the voice in there. We're seeing a more intimate and direct relationship between the host of the show and the listener who's there, right? If a host of NPR, the NPR producer who reads the ad in the United States News Channel, you know, reads something, that's a much different performance characteristic than you're going to get from, you know, I listen to a podcast that's about one football team in the United States. There's probably 5,000 people listening to it. I listen to this guy multiple times a week, every week, right? And when he says, yeah, I've tried this thing and I think it's great, or he partners with a brand, it has much more meaning for me than just, you know, a random producer reading an ad that I have no connection to. So these middle-class podcasters, right, they are the ones that I think have some of the highest performance characteristics, and they tend to be a little bit cheaper because they're not so overloaded with ads. They're a little bit more hungry for the revenue. And so we do encourage brands to play around in this space. In podcasting, you know, you have two choices. You can run programmatic, you know, pre-recorded creative that you deploy onto all of that stuff, all of that middle class inventory. And that can work great. You don't get that endorsement style performance, but you can usually get it at a cheaper rate and you can target a little bit more closely. And there, the thing you have to concern yourself with is probably brand safety. But there are some vendors that have emerged in the podcasting space powered by AI, where they will you know, transcribe the episodes and look for, you know, overall brand safety of a show across its back catalog and make sure that they're not talking about controversial topics. And so depending on your brand and who you're comfortable with, there are levels that you can go down into that long tail or filter within it and find the right type of quality stuff that you want to be on. You know, there's more transparency in the programmatic market these days than there used to be. And so you can often figure out what shows is my stuff running on and how do I ensure the brand safety of the specific content that is wrapping around my ad that's running. And then, of course, on the other side, there's host-read advertising, which we can do at scale with tools like Red Circle. There's some other tools in the market that let you do these host-read endorsement style ads at scale by running them on large numbers of podcasts without having to send, you know, 100 emails for each transaction. And so, you know, in that scenario, there's a little bit more of a closer connection. You're selecting the 50, 100 podcasts that you specifically want to run on. So brand safety is less of a concern. And then, you know, the other concern that you have is you're giving a lot of creative control to the podcaster. So again, there are tools that are usually AI-based, transcription-based, that let you sort of quickly look over all the ad reads, making sure they're following your guidelines and representing the brand that you want. And those are obviously priced a little bit higher because the podcaster is doing more effort. They have a higher performance characteristics, programmatic, a little bit less control of where it runs, a little bit more opportunities for hyper-targeting, and a little bit cheaper. So brands are playing on both sides of the space in podcasting.
it's good to hear, and it shows that there's, you know, that flexibility in terms of allowing anyone to reach that long tail, but also in a way that's comfortable for them and their businesses. So yeah, really interesting to see how it's developing there. In terms of another question around the space, has been around the measurement piece. How does measurement here stack up against, you know, other digital channels, and what should advertisers really be looking for in terms of that effectiveness? And indeed, are we measuring it correctly at this point?
Yeah, this is always a challenge, I think, in every channel, just to make sure you're got the right measurement technologies and you're drawing the right conclusions from the data that you're getting. You know, in podcasting, the historical way that measurement was done was with, you know, promo codes or vanity URLs, and that was sort of all the level of data that you would get. And, you know, tons of people go and buy your thing without remembering to put in the code. And so it was sort of a very crude measure. You would often combine that with a how'd you hear about us survey, and then try to like figure out the right multiples to say, you know, okay, if 1% of my people who buy the product say they came from podcasting, you can kind of do the math to say, if I got 10 promo code redemptions, how many do I really think, you know, came from podcasting? Or came, you know, for each different code or vanity URL. That was how things were done for a long time. It was good enough to show advertisers, hey, this is working. But it wasn't, you know, there's no sexy dashboard that comes out of that tells you your ROAS. There's no, you know, there's a bunch of spreadsheet math and a little bit of fudging and magic that comes up with coming up with these multiples. On the other hand, over the last several years, a bunch of different vendors have emerged in podcasting, as they have in CTV, right, to be able to do pixel-based attribution that are using device graphs that are saying, hey, this IP address on an iPhone, I know that's associated with Mike Caden or his household, and he listened to this podcast yesterday for BetterHelp, and then he signed up on a desktop on a different Wi-Fi that we know is also associated with him. And they're able to sort of look at the match rate of impressions, look at the match rate of conversions, and do the right calculations to say, okay, we saw like 45 attributable conversions and we have about a 50% match rate overall. So, you know, we suspect this campaign did 90 conversions, and you get some, you know, specific row level data. This user that signed up, you know, came from podcast X. But you have also some of the math to show overall your campaign's ROAS is probably something around here. And there's all kinds of sophisticated stuff that are happening in those tools. You know, you can decide on windows that you want to choose for attribution lookbacks. You can do lift studies that compare against other audiences to see, you know, okay, maybe my last click that the user came in on is from Facebook, but, you know, they also listened to an ad from me last week. What's the fundamental lift that's coming from the podcast ads? And then, of course, in general, right, as marketers are dealing with a more and more complex environment, everyone's thinking about how to come up with the right models to measure using multi-touch, and podcasting, you know, can integrate into those environments if you have the right technology that you're deploying your campaigns with, and be able to put the impression data into those models and give you a picture of sort of how much of your attribution you know, should be associated with the podcasting spend that you have. So there's a lot more sophistication happening. You know, frankly speaking, the podcast industry has benefited from the growth in CTV, which has grown so much in the last several years, and it's a very similar profile. There's no link you click in on the TV. It's household-based. And so, you know, figuring out the tools to be able to make that match after the fact is something that the market in podcasting has benefited from really well. Spotify actually acquired a couple of companies that did this a few years ago, and then a bunch of new companies emerged that were independent to hold the space separate from them. And so there's lots of great tools in podcasting and audio in general to be able to do sophisticated attribution that you would be able to expect in these other, you know, I'd call like offline channels like CTV or, you know, or other channels where you can't have like a direct click attribution like Google or Facebook.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting point in terms of how it's developed hand in hand with CTV, and as marketers are getting more familiar with using, you know, more evolved metrics beyond, you know, the standard click in display advertising. So yeah, it's really interesting to hear that the tools are becoming more available to allow them to do that and truly understand how their podcast advertising is impacting their campaigns. But yeah, it's been a really good conversation. But to kind of wrap things up, to, you know, look into the future as the space matures, how do you see that balance shifting between, you know, the creators, the advertisers, the platforms within the audio space as things go forward?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time in podcasting overall right now. The The definition of a podcast is even kind of evolving. I think many people think about a podcast as a video first thing now. I think if you ask younger folks, they think about, they listen or watch their podcasts on YouTube. And so there's obviously like a dynamic between publishers and YouTube and advertisers that already exist there. Spotify has been for some time trying to sort of wall things off within their world, and their new video product kind of isolates the creators from some of the data and some of the ability to dynamically insert ads of their own into the content. Spotify also sort of moving to a model where they're paying creators a portion of the SaaS revenue associated with their listeners and taking the ads out. So some very interesting dynamics. And then Apple, sort of the benevolent owner of podcasting for some time and not really interested in ad tech. And so there's just sort of very interesting dynamic space that's starting to appear. So I think the interesting sort of battle and dynamic is going to be about whether Spotify continues to grow power in the space or not, whether YouTube takes even more market share from the space, and how creators, you know, figure out, okay, I'm going to make some of my revenue from YouTube. I'm going to make some of my revenue from my Patreon separate from ads altogether. I'm going to make some of my revenue from Spotify either through ads or through subscriptions. I'm going to run dynamic ads on the rest of the places that my podcast runs. I'm going to monetize my newsletter, you know, et cetera, merch, all the things that podcasters and publishers do. I think it's going to be really a complex environment for the publisher, and then also a very complex environment for the advertiser. If you want to run campaigns at scale across these different sort of sub channels within podcasting, that's also going to get very complex. If you want to have a good understanding of how your campaign is performing across these different places where listeners can be found. So it's a very dynamic time right now. Where CPMs go, I think, is anybody's guess. I guess that's true in every medium. You know, it's like betting the stock market. Where power lands within the big tech companies or with more independent publishers, I think, is going to be an interesting dynamic to go into the future. And I'm not sure where it lands, but I can say, you know, having been in podcasting for 7 years, this is going to be a very interesting time the next year or two as things kind of rejigger and figure out where they land.
Yeah, huge complexity, but what I think is very clear that it's a very exciting and evolving and, as you said, dynamic space. But Mike, thank you ever so much for guiding us through that. That's been a really interesting and fascinating discussion on all things audio.
Yeah, thank you. This is really fun.
Awesome. And thank you all ever so much for listening to this week's MadTech Podcast special.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.